Afternoon, everybody. Shmuel Plotzker coming at you live from my house. It's book club time. Sorry about that little delay. I'm dealing with my have a broken heater. So my man Steve Miley, who I recommend highly, he's terrific when it comes to fixing HVAC stuff. So if you ever need somebody who's really good, honest, let me know, and we'll give you his contact information. Golf Man Synagogue Book Club class, welcome aboard. We're starting a new book, The Final Exam, Letters to Our Students, by Rabbi Dr. Ari Berman, who's the new president of Yeshiva University. It's a great, great book. I started it. I'm loving it. I'm so glad we're doing it. Let's get right to it. This is the introduction to The Final Exam, Letters to Our Students, by Rabbi Dr. Ari Berman, president of Yeshiva University. Introduction. My dear students, and by the way, I'm not giving you any more of an introduction than I mean, I'm not going to give you my little take. I wanted Rabbi Berman to tell you his take, because that's what we're here for, not to listen to me, but to listen to him. He writes beautifully. Here we go. Introduction. My dear student, over the past few years, I have been traveling from campus to campus, state to state, and country to country, learning about the extraordinary reach of Yeshiva University and taking pride in our students, graduates, faculty, staff, and lay leaders. In my years here, Yeshiva University was invited to represent one branch of the menorah at the Kotel for Israel's national lighting ceremony. Yeshiva University was represented in Dubai at the first ever Holocaust commemoration day in an Arab country. Yeshiva University has hosted global leaders and thinkers at public events on our campuses. On every one of these significant occasions, I came away recognizing that people the world over regard Yeshiva University as the flagship Jewish university. Indeed, he writes in fact, but I think he means indeed, at no time in its history has this institution of higher learning been more important or more necessary. In a sea of relativism, cancel culture, and harsh political discourse, our Yeshiva University is holding firmly to tradition in its confrontation with and integration of modernity. Chadesh Yameinu Kikedem, renew our days as of old. Lamentations 5. We take the best of the past, and it informs our present and our future. We grow, learn, and discover. We experiment, innovate, and approach the world with a posture of curiosity and with the anchor of our history, rooted in our commitment to halacha. In this relatively new century, as an institution that is itself older than a century, we need a current exposition of our educational philosophy and worldview that speaks to the wholeness of each individual student, as well as the depth of our multi-millennial tradition. Ironically, while many beyond our walls recognize what is unique and invaluable in our YU schools and communities, at times our students within them have trouble articulating our distinct outlook. It is instinctively obvious to our Yeshiva University family that we represent an outlook on life that is both timely and timeless. But we ourselves may struggle for the language to define it, to verbalize it, and to communicate it. This inability can sometimes cause confusion, misunderstanding, and even defection. While for generations there was a sense that YU's values could be absorbed through osmosis by simply studying a dual curriculum and living on campus, experience has borne out the importance of explicitly spelling out our priorities. That is what this book aims to do. It demonstrates that our voice matters and your voice matters. I chose to tell the story of my journey at Yeshiva University and my desire to express its worldview through the form of letters. Letters communicate ideas in a more intimate and personal way. I began writing letters to students during the Wuhan virus as a way to keep in touch despite the isolation Letter writing as a form of teaching is not new. In 1838, at the age of 28, Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch wrote his influential 19 Letters on Judaism as a fictional correspondence to a young intellectual who questions the relevance of traditional Judaism. In his 19 letters, Rabbi Hirsch wrote that the Torah is, quote, noble and sublime, end quote, and is able to respond to all modern challenges and developments. It was Rabbi Hirsch who popularized the expression Torah im Derech Eretz, which has been translated and understood in a variety of ways, from Torah with the integration of culture to Torah in combination with society's mores and norms. I am, of course, no Rabbi Hirsch. But 2 centuries later, I humbly offer my own 19 letters to you, our students, to help you consider how you can maximize these next years of your life, which will be some of the most significant in your own personal development. Warmly, Ari Berman. And now we begin the book. Letter number 1, your final exam. My dear student, page 1, I hope this letter finds you well. Indeed, your well-being is the whole reason I'm here in the first place. Allow me to explain. At the end of our lives, the Talmud teaches us, by the way, we're dedicating the shir to Gedalia ben Moshe, who was nifter about 2 weeks ago, may the Shem have an aliyah, the success of the IDF, the healing of all those in hospitals throughout Israel, and the return safely of the hostages being held by the Hamas Nazis in Gaza. At the end of our lives, the Talmud teaches us that there is a final exam. See Gemara Shabbat 31a. Amar Rava. Rava said, B'shar shemachnisin adam ledin, when a person is brought to judgment, omrim lo, they say to him, Nasata benasata be'amuna, did you conduct business faithfully? Kavata itim la Torah, did you designate times for Torah study? Asakta befriya verivia, were you involved in procreation? Tipisa lishua, did you anticipate the redemption? Pilpalta bechochma, did you engage in the dialectics of wisdom? Hevanta davar mitoch davar, did you understand one matter from another? Page 2. In the fullness of time, we will each stand before God. We will be asked questions about how we spent our time here in this world. Collectively, the answers to these questions express the way in which we lived, worked, loved, studied, and built a better tomorrow. They challenge us and guide us at crossroads in our lives and in our day-to-day decisions. From Rava's perspective, all of our education and years on earth are a preparation for this final exam. As someone who has devoted years of my life in high school, yeshiva, and university settings, I am only too familiar with final exams, studying for days and sometimes weeks, taking notes and summarizing the material, always I prepare. But imagine if someone gave you the questions ahead of time. You received a brief study guide that laid out with perfect clarity what it was you were expected to answer. And part of that study guide included an easy-to-remember system to help you keep the core concepts in mind. How valuable would that study guide be to you? In my mind, our education at Yeshiva University uniquely prepares you and me for this final exam. And in that context, this book is like a study guide to help you understand the purpose of a YU education. For the past several years, I have thought deeply about the right language to communicate Yeshiva University's unique approach to education and authentic Jewish living. I walked our halls, spoke with our students, met with parents, trustees, donors, friends, and alumni, conferred with our deans, faculty, and Jewish thought leaders,
and worked with our esteemed rabbis, educators, and senior Rosh Yeshiva, based on my own studies at YU. And these conversations, I formulated a shorthand way to frame our education, our five core Torah values, as a vehicle to express and transmit our comprehensive worldview to help us prepare for this final test in order that we live a life of love, learning, and service. Page 3. It is essential that we focus on Rava's questions and our core values at Yeshiva University today. Our basic priority is clear. We are here in this world to serve God. Reishis Chochma, Yiras Hashem. The beginning of wisdom is to revere God. Psalm 111, verse 10. And Sof Davar HaKol Nishma, Esro Lahim Yirah, Des Mitzvosav Shemor. The end of the matter is to revere God and observe the commandments. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14. From beginning to end, our task is to revere God and observe God's commandments. Indeed, Rava ends his question list by telling us that the entire purpose of these retrospective questions is to create a life of Yiras Hashem, reverence for God. Initially, it seems pretty simple, but from here, the questions become more difficult and demanding. What does the life of serving and fearing God look like? What is it that God wants from us? How do we identify that, and how do we get there? On the following pages, I will introduce you to some of the architects and leaders whose guiding principles made Yeshiva University what it is today. And I will also share a new framework with which to consider a YU education. In my mind, our five core Torah values are not simply a conceptualization of foundational principles of Jewish life. They are a basis on which every student and every person can live a life of profound Jewish significance. I have included both Hebrew texts and their translations to address all those in our diverse student body. And I've included sources as an index in the back of the book for those who would like to study and discuss the material more fully. I have presented a theoretical framework with only some applications within our own educational system. I resist the temptation to make all of this practical for you, since that is your life's work and mine. Only you can take these core values and apply them to your unique life in your unique way, because no one else can take this final exam for you. Top of page 4. Our worldview and educational philosophy are critical not only for our institution, but for all people who look to tradition as their bedrock of meaning and purpose. As people move both to the left and to the right, seeking either what they perceive as greater progressivism or greater conservatism, more inclusion or less, we have suffered from an attenuated and sometimes impoverished view of what Torah Judaism can contribute to our lives and to the world. I believe our five Torah values speak directly to the context of our times. From the days of the Talmud onward, sages and rabbis, educators and lay leaders have worked to formulate guiding principles for those looking to fulfill the Torah mandate to pursue a life of piety while also studying, working, raising a family, and making contributions to society. To be clear, there is nothing exceptionally new in this presentation. Nothing about our core Torah values is new at all. That, in fact, is the point. This formulation is primarily a distillation of the thought of our revered teacher, Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik, who articulated a worldview that emerges from a deep study and understanding of our Torah texts and rabbinic tradition dating back to Sinai. There is only one Torah and 613 Torah commandments. The five core Torah values help us live lives steeped in the Torah's wisdom while embracing modernity and its challenges through a compelling multivalence prism, P-R-I-S-M, as in Mary, a prism, something through which you look. The core values honor Torah Umada as an educational philosophy while expanding it into a worldview that also embraces truth, dignity, and compassion. They inspire us to integrate these values into a meaningful life of religious integrity that sets as its goal a path to redemption. Most importantly, as you begin on this path, I offer you the greatest blessing of all. May you feel that God is with you throughout your journey here and beyond. By feeling Hashem's presence, you will never be alone. You will always be loved and always comforted, and you will always walk through life supported and strengthened. Chizku v'imtzu, be strong and courageous. Ki Hashem Elokecha, hu ha'olech imach, for the Almighty your God, He is the one who goes with you. Lo yarpecha, He will never leave you. Velo yazveka, and He will never forsake you. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Let's study hard for this final exam that earns the most important grade, the fulfillment of our life's purpose. With blessing, Ari Brooks. Are you loving it so far? Wow, I am. Letter number 2, page 7. Welcome to our family. My dear student, welcome to our YU family. I am delighted that you are here, and I am committed to helping you prepare for this life test. Our family is guided by a motto, Torah Umada, that appears on our family crest. Torah Umada, literally, by the way, this is me now speaking, Torah Umada, Mada means knowledge. It can mean science. It can mean the world of knowledge outside, necessarily, outside of the precincts of Torah per se. It's outside Talmud, outside the Bible, the Talmud. It is it's science, it's art, it's Western literature, it's architecture, it's philosophy, it's the law and dentistry and actuarial science and accounting. It's a lot of stuff. It's Mada. It's what you study in the afternoon at Yeshiva University. Torah Umada is an educational philosophy that prioritizes Torah while simultaneously recognizing the religious value of worldly wisdom. We combine the best of Torah study and practice with a rigorous academic education to give you a spiritual, intellectual, and professional foundation. But we understand that to integrate these realms well and authentically requires a more comprehensive and holistic approach to your education and to your religious life. After much discussion, I have distilled the prism by which we accomplish our motto and lead lives of meaning, purpose, and service into the five core Torah values. How about that? This is me speaking. Now, this is what he's doing. Rabbi Berman here is writing a book. It's not just the students at YU any more than Rabbi Hirsch's book was only to a bunch of college-age kids. No, of course it's written to college-age kids. It's also written to everybody else on the planet who's Jewish. It's written to everybody who wants to be guided as to how to get ready for that final exam. What he's going to do is he's going to incorporate the questions that we're going to be asked at the end of our human life and the beginning of our heavenly journey. He's going to combine those questions with the five core Torah values that he, through Rabbi Soloveitchik, learned to, articulate or to delineate and he's going to kind of combine them. The questions of Rava in the Talmud and the five core values that he wants us to be introduced to, which guide Yeshiva University. I feel close to Yeshiva University, not just because I have friends who teach there. One is a full-blown Rosh Yeshiva on the staff. One is a Shoah Lomeshiv in the Beis Medrash. Another rabbi leads, is influential in the JSS program. The rabbi of my former shul, Bialystok Shul, was a graduate of YU and REITs, the rabbinical school, and then he joined the faculty. Now he's moving to Israel. But for many, many years, he was the rabbi of Bialystok Shul, and he taught at YU. But also my younger brother attended Yeshiva University, graduated from high school and from the college. And lots of other friends and people that I've met in my life have gone to YU. So even though I went to NYU as an undergraduate, I think, you know, it might have been a kick to have gone to YU. I would have had a different experience in college completely had I gone to an all-male college. Instead, I went to NYU, a co-ed school with non-Jewish people in it. YU obviously is a little bit more parochial, but it would have been fun. It would have been enjoyable. At the end of the day, after college, I went to Chappelle's in Israel, and that's where it was. That was like the YU experience. It was all male, and it was only from guys, and it was like being back in a way, like being back in high school, but on a higher level. So I've been taught by YU rabbis, new yeshiva rabbis. I'm very blessed to say that I have a lot of different rabbis in my life, Chafetz Chaim, Lakewood, YU, the Mir, others will come to mind. So I'm very, very blessed and very fortunate. I try to make rabbis and teachers of everybody I meet, no matter where they may have gone to school. Try it. It's actually a pretty good way to go through life. At all events, we continue. We're on page 7. Let's get right to it. After much discussion, I, says Rabbi Berman, I have distilled the prism, P-R-I-S-M, the prism by which we accomplish our motto and lead lives of meaning, purpose, and service into the five core Torah values. The mere act of studying both domains will not alone enable us to pass God's final exam. You can't just merely study the domains. You actually have to probably, right, put them into use. Life is larger than any motto could ever be. Top of page 8. As we begin this journey together, I want to share these values and how they inspire us to formulate our own answers to Rava's questions. Number 1, Torat Emet, seek truth. We believe in the pursuit of truth and humanity's ability to discover it. At Yeshiva University, Torah study is part of every day for every student. We can answer Rava confidently that we do make a lot of time for Torah study. In our general studies, we engage in the dialectics of wisdom. With our minds, we plumb the depths of knowledge in the pursuit of truth in every subject to help you become critical thinkers who are able to analyze, synthesize, and integrate your learning into your lives. Number 2 of the five core Yeshiva University values, Torat Adam, discover your potential. We believe in the infinite worth of every human being. It's reflected in the way we treat strangers and friends, professors and security guards, those we love and those we struggle to understand. It's the way God created us. Our job is to find the tzelem, the godliness in everyone. At Yeshiva University, we believe in the importance of healthy relationships and the gift of family life and continuity. Every child is a bet on our future, a symbol of hope in tomorrow. This, too, is an expression of Torat Adam. It all begins with the dignity and respect we accord every single person. 3, Torat Chaim, live your values. We believe in bringing our values to life. Yeshiva University prepares and expects its graduates to behave ethically in life and at work. We make sure, for instance, that all our business students study ethics with the expectation that they will apply what they know of Jewish law to conduct themselves with the highest moral standards. we try hard to answer to a higher authority. Number four, Torah Chesed, act with compassion. We believe in the responsibility to reach out to others with compassion. Be kind, and kindness will shape you. Share your heart and your smile with others to alleviate their suffering. You will see examples of a Torah Chesed ethos everywhere and on every campus. You will see it in Chesed opportunities, in the work of our student council, in club activities, and through the work of our extraordinary counseling services. You will feel it through the individualized care of our staff and faculty, and through the work of our Office of Student Life. A life of meaning is a life of mercy. Finally, number five, page nine. Number five, Torat Zion, bring redemption. We believe that humanity's purpose is to transform our world for the better and to move history forward. Hashem will not ask us, according to Rava, if we waited for redemption. He asks each of us if we anticipated it. Sipita Lishua. Anticipation is much stronger than simply waiting. A tzofer in Tanakh is a sentinel who is not just sitting back and waiting to see if something happens. Rather, he is actively and vigilantly seeking out ways to help. We must play a participatory role in bringing about redemption. I have seen and experienced these core values all throughout my life as my relationship with Yeshiva University began even before I was born. My mother, Rosalie Bayer, was a graduate of Stern College. My father, Teddy or Tobias Berman, was a graduate of Yeshiva College. Let me stop right there. I knew his father. I never knew this until I read this sentence an hour ago preparing this. When I was in law school in a Truro Law Center in Huntington, Long Island, in my first year, if I'm not mistaken, there was Dean Cohen, a tall Harvard graduate, very handsome guy with winning personality. He wasn't very long into my tenure as a student. He left within the first year. And then he was replaced by Dean Teddy Berman. That's to his father, Teddy Tobias Berman. I got to know his father years ago when I was a student at Truro Law Center. How about that? His father, Teddy Berman, was a graduate of Yeshiva College. And I was the dean of students at Truro Law Center. And I used to daven mincha in his office. Got to know him. He was a great guy. He's a super nice guy. I have only the fondest memories of Dean Berman. I really do. That's the father of this man. I'm a Dr. Ari Berman. I gotta contact him. Anyway, we continue. My mother, my father, each one was a graduate of the undergraduate schools of Yeshiva University. And now I continue. Indeed, they were each elected president of the student body of their respective schools and actually met at an event they planned together to celebrate Rabbi Samuel Belkin's 18th year as Yeshiva University's president. Throughout my childhood, it was a given that I would attend Yeshiva University's high school and college. I began my days as a student here in high school and studied in YU institutions or affiliated institutions throughout all of my formative years. How about that? From the moment that he stepped foot in MTA, it used to be known as Manhattan Talmudical Academy. Then it was renamed Marsha Stern Talmudical Academy. But those of us who know YU still call it MTA, as opposed to BTA, the Brooklyn Talmudical Academy. My brother went to MTA, and nobody calls it MSTA. Nobody. You got to be nuts to call it that. And no, I'm not impugning Marsha Stern. I'm sure she's a nice lady. But nobody calls it MSTA. Just nobody. Nobody ever did, even after it was renamed. MTA still reigns as the name of that school. And that's how we're going to call it over here. And indeed, that's how he probably is going to call it in his own writing over here. Yeah, watch this. Watch how he writes. Page 10. So he's just like, he's always had YU throughout all my formative years. He's never studied in a non-YU affiliated school, except until he went to Israel, then he went to, I think, Hebrew University. So that was his first non-Yeshiva University experience. I mentioned this at my investiture speech as president, delivered in the historic Nathan Lamport Auditorium in 2017. Quote, I first stepped into this room when I was 13 years old as a student of the Marshall Stern Talmudical Academy. Since that moment, I have been inspired and nourished by Yeshiva University. My studies, high school, college, graduate school, ordination, post-ordination, and my early teaching career all occurred at YU. I even met my wife, Anita, when I was a senior in high school at an MTA Central event. Intellectually, spiritually, and socially, I am a product of this special institution. Most new presidents of universities need to learn the story of their institutions, to understand their narrative and their purpose. But I do not need to read a history book to understand Yeshiva University. It is in my heart, and it is in my soul. End quote. Beautiful. Even my professional pursuits were intertwined with Yeshiva University. After my years in Yeshiva University's Kollelim, studying under Rabbi Herschel Schachter, and then Rabbi Aaron Kahn in the Kollel Elyon, I was selected to serve as a Ram, a Rosh Masifta, a teacher, in the Stone Beit Midrash program. At the same time, I began my rabbinic career at one of the leading congregations that has a long and storied association with Yeshiva University, the Jewish Center of Manhattan. By the way, it's a beautiful place. I've been there many a time. Absolutely beautiful show. Beautiful building. I served under my teacher, Rabbi Jacob J. Schachter, for 6 years, first as his intern, then as assistant rabbi, and finally as associate rabbi. When Rabbi Schachter moved to Boston, I became the synagogue's senior rabbi. I still maintained my classes at Yeshiva University until the YU administration decided that we could better maximize my time with the students if we formed a kollel that would travel to the Jewish Center. In that capacity, I became a Rosh Kollel for YU. A group of smicha students came to study daily with me at the Jewish Center, nourishing me and them and keeping me within the YU orbit. Top of page 11. Life was going well. My family integrated well into the Upper West Side community. I believed in my work. I loved my congregation. And I was teaching Torah on a very high level, intellectually, spiritually, and professionally. My wife, my children, and I were settled and thriving. At the same time, we were not in Israel. We live in a generation in which Hashem has blessed us with the return of the Jewish people to our homeland. Israel is once again protected by a Jewish army under Jewish sovereignty. The hand of God in history is obvious to all who have read through Tanakh and have a sense of the trials and triumphs of the Jewish national journey. It was difficult for us to imagine that with this historic shift to Jewish autonomy in our own country, we would not try to raise our children in Israel and see how we could participate in whatever small way in the great Jewish project of our generation, building the Jewish state. So Anita and I, with our then 4 children, took a sabbatical and informed the congregation that there was a very strong chance we would be staying in Israel. And that's exactly what happened. I left Yeshiva University. I left our community and all that was deeply familiar. I began a new life. I studied and completed a doctorate in Jewish thought at Hebrew University and began a new career as a professor at Herzog College, sitting on its executive council and launching a new venture for them as director of Heichal Shlomo, the former home of Israel's chief rabbinate. While the teachings and philosophy of Yeshiva University continued to nurture and enrich my life, and I stayed abreast of YU events over the years, it was more part of my past than my future. Yet I sit here now at my desk in the president's office of Yeshiva University. What happened? Why am I here? The short answer is that I am here to write these letters to you. Like you, I am preparing for my final exam, but the longer story will unfold throughout the pages of this book. Rabbi Soloveitchik once said that successful educators open a window into their own souls. This story is, in part, uniquely my story. For some, the places and people who populate my story will be deeply familiar. For others, with less familiarity with the YU community, the ideas and values will perhaps be more resonant. My hope is that all will find themselves in their journey. I will do my best to explain, and I invite you to write your own personal story and discover its uniqueness. Thank you for joining me in this journey. Warmest regards, Ari Book. I'll leave that over here, my dear friends. A delicious book, a wonderful book. I'm so excited to be studying it with you and reading it with you. Fabulous. I'd like to, God willing, have the privilege of maybe bringing him out here to Cincinnati if possible. Could be fun. At all events, whether we succeed in that or not, we will definitely enjoy reading this book. Please join me next week as we read letter number 3, A Time for Big Decisions. Letter number 4, The Call That Changed It All. And 5, Standing on the Shoulders of Giants. Let's try to hit those 3 letters next week. Again, let this shiur be dedicated to the uplifting of the neshama of Gedalia ben Moshe and to the success of Israel, its defense forces. May God heal all the sick people in the hospitals of Israel, and may all the hostages be returned safe and sound. Hashem, who is the Matir Asurim and the Rafei Cholim, may he actively do those very things for those who need it in Israel, those who are stuck in Gaza, those who are in hospitals. Please, God, heal them, bring them back safe and sound, and give success to the IDF as they try to stamp out Arab-Muslim Nazism in our time. Wishing everybody a good week, a good rest of the day. God's help, we'll see you tomorrow night at Tanakh Tuesday as we begin the study of 2 Kings chapter 24. Thanking you so much. Have a great day today and tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow night, 7:30 sharp. All the best. Shmuel Plotzker signing out. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.